is that of tempting or putting God to the test. And somebody will say, Brother Mitchell, isn't that a wonderful thing to prove God? Because in fact, that's one of the things God says, Brother Mitchell, in the book of Malachi. He said, prove me, or try me, or test me. Well, there is a point there. Because the passage just referred to is a fact. In fact, there is a chance I may, because of what I'm dealing with this morning, I may deal with that aspect of the lesson tonight. I'm not sure. But the Bible speaks a lot about tempting or trying God, and that the Bible tells us that it was one of the sins that Israel often committed against God when God led them out of Egypt. Every child of God should understand the ways in which we can tempt or put God to the test. Because as I've just said, this was one of the ways in which Israel sinned so often. Passage such as Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16 is on that very point. In fact, you'll notice that this was while the children of Israel were still in the wilderness. Let us hear that passage anyway before I progress further. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16. Another brother may have Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. Let us hear it.
Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah.
Okay, so here, what we have here is that God is reminding them that they had already tempted God or tried God. And God is saying, don't do that. That is, it's not in the best interest of anyone to see how far we can go with God. And while I speak, you might be there wondering or asking within your mind, Brother Mitchell, how do we tempt God? Well, I'll be dealing with that. That's what the lesson is about. So the passage the brothers just read is implying that Israel had already been doing this. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7.
Jesus said unto him, It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
So here again, Jesus Christ in the second temptation, when he fasted in the wilderness when Satan came. At Jesus' weakest point, asking Jesus Christ to place himself in the pinnacle of the temple and jump down. And then Satan quotes scripture. That's right. Satan quotes scripture to point out to Christ that your father promised that he will not even permit your foot to dash against a stone. But this was tempting. Had Jesus Christ yielded, he would join in with Satan in tempting God. That is pushing God to the limit. Passage like Acts of the Apostle chapter 5 verse 9, Acts of the Apostle chapter 15 verse 10, 1 Corinthians 10:9. All these passages are dealing They are directly on the subject, tempting God. In Jesus' second temptation that we have just quoted the passage in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. As I've said, that Jesus yielded to Satan, among other things, that would have been the sin of tempting God. He would join in with Satan, that is. There are many ways in which we can sin or do sin by tempting God or putting God to the test. But as I've said, testing God here is not the same thing that is mentioned in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Read that quick. As I've said, I may look at that passage tonight, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Uh-huh.
That there may be meat
uh-huh.
in mine house.
Uh-huh.
And
it's out of the context where verses are up. Don't move from the passage. Like verse 7, 8, 9. God was accusing the Israelite of robbing him. Can you imagine anybody who wants to rob God? And yet even for Christians, it is a regular thing. Are we all there? That's right. It's a regular thing where we hold on so tightly to our material things that we are always shortchanging God. And many of us don't realize that that is one of the things that's going to send many to hell. That's why Christ said the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's what was under consideration here. They were robbing God. And God told them, you have robbed me in tithes and offering. The Israelite asked that, wherein have we robbed you? Of course, at this point in the passage, God had not yet told them the ways in which they were robbing him. God just simply told them, you are robbing me. But you see, because there are many ways we can rob God. We can rob God of our time, of our influence, our strength. We're all of the resources, the natural resources we have. We use it on ourselves and things pertaining to self, but we're always shortchanging God. So when God says, you have robbed me, the Israelite want to know in what area. And at least in that response, they were acknowledging that we can rob God in many ways. And God said the specific area that I'm talking about now is your tithes and offering. So the passage is about that, but I didn't read from verse 7 or 8. We're at verse 10. So God is challenging them now. Read on, brother.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse,
mm-hmm.
that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now.
And what?
And prove me now.
Prove. That means try me. That means test me. You get the point?
Amen.
But that's not the same as these passages that we will be looking at today and some of those that I have just given you. It's in a different context that proving God takes place. And as I've said, I don't want to promise there is a chance we may look on that side of it tonight so that you have a balanced understanding of proving God. Yes, so ladies and gentlemen, tempting God, as I've said, was one of Israel's constant and regular sin. We have looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Look at Psalms. Let us hear Psalms 78, verse 18 and verse 41. Let us hear that passage. Psalms 78, verse 18 and verse 41.
And they tempted God.
They tempted God.
In their heart.
In their heart.
By asking meat for their lust.
That's right. I wish we have time to elaborate more on passage like this. I go to passage like this just to point out to you that Israel did tempt or try God. That was verse 14. Verse 41.
Yea, they turned back and tempted God.
They did not only backslide. They did not only turn back, but they tempt God, try God. That is trying to see the limit to which they could push God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Let us hear it.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted.
Don't let us do this, as the Israelites did.
And were destroyed.
And they were destroyed.
Of serpents.
By serpents. When they put God to the test, when they tempt God. Brothers and sisters, let us get down to some of the ways in which we can tempt God. In the first place, it is not good faith. It is not genuine saving faith. It is not a Christ-like thing to put God to the test or to see how far you can go with God. And by how far you can push God. Or what limit you can place or test God with. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 through verse 12. Let us hear that passage.
Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord.
Wait. Start again, brother.
Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying,
God spake to Ahaz, saying, remember, it's God telling him to come to him, that is to him, God, in prayer. Read on.
Saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God.
Ask God for a sign. Read.
Ask it either in the depth or in the height above.
Wait, you can go at the lowest part of the earth and ask for a sign, or you can go at the highest possible point and ask God for a sign, for a miracle.
But Ahaz said.
Ahaz was sensible.
Amen.
That's right. Ahaz was sensible. Brothers and sisters, may I? When the Almighty God tell you or me to walk from here to Spanish Town, he's not going to tell us that. But if he were, to tell us to walk from here to Spanish Town. Please don't go standing out the street corner and say, God will provide a drive. That's tempting God. When the Almighty God tell you or me what to do, and we fail to do it and ask God now to intervene to provide for us an easier way, don't expect God to come running to your help. That's part of the situation and the consideration here in Isaiah. God says, ask for a sign. Go wherever you want to ask it. But there was common sense, intelligence, and God-fearing in Ahaz. He said, I will not. Read that little part again. I will not.
But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord.
I will not tempt God. In other words, the challenge we face, you have already instructed us what to do or what wrong we have committed. So for us now to come and ask you to intervene would be tempting you. And it's the same for us. Read on further, brother.
And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also?
You get the point? It's a small thing for you to weary your fellow men. Are you trying to weary me? That is, when I've already tell you if you do, when you are going to worry me for? You see, and this is why you find that people today crave for miracle. They don't know that part of their desire means that they are tempting God. And it's not in anybody's best interest to tempt God. Read further.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
That's right.
And shall
and call. That is about Jesus Christ. We don't want to get into that. The fact, brothers and sisters, is that as Israel tempted God, we can. May I? To choose our own path as we go through life, as we strive to serve God. We are supposed to be guided by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we push the gospel one side and choose our own path or what place ourselves in perilous or dangerous position, thereby by placing ourselves in perilous situation or dangerous situation, we are in effect hoping that God will come running to get us out of that situation. Wait. We were the one who created that situation. We were the one who placed ourselves in that perilous or dangerous situation. We were the one who take leave of our common sense and make wrong decisions. But then we reason that if I make a mistake, God will help me out of it. No, God will not help you out of situation like that. Are we here? That's right. Not when we have made a rational decision. You know, a lot of time a person sees danger. The danger is blinding you. And the person still gets in it. telling him herself that I believe in my God and my God will do this and do that. I don't know which God you are serving, but the Almighty God is warning us that this is tempting him. Are we all there? And that is not good. As I've said, when we place ourselves in these dangerous and perilous situations, so as in effect forcing the hands of God, so as to tell ourselves, God will come to my aid. Not when we have created those bad situations in which we find ourselves. This is not faith. This is fanaticism. You are a fanatic, or I am a fanatic when we act like that. It is not faith. And many people will tell you, I believe in God. I know God will help me. No, you are a fanatic. And this is how many Israelites reason. May I? There are many people who go to church, some of whom members of the Lord's church. Are we all there? And they will reason adamantly, I'm not going to take the vaccine. No, it's not that they have medical issue that would forbid them taking it. We are not talking about that. It's weird. No doctor have told them that they cannot because of medical challenge they have. It's they don't like it. And based on their like or dislike, they decide they are not going to. Every day they hear the expert telling you how the thing works. Not the foolish person in their community talking what they do not know about. But every day they hear experts on radio and TV telling how the thing works and how it can affect us, our very life, our health. But they decide, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. And you know the reason. I am a child of God and I know God will protect me. And they say that self-righteously. Brothers and sisters, you tell those brothers and sisters who reason like that, that the very person that's not going to help them or protect them from that virus is God. Because when you or I or any man or woman take leave of their common sense or their intelligence or the plain, easily understood directive that God has provided to enlighten us, when you and I push that one side, ignore that, and do the foolish thing, and then look to God to help you out of difficulty which your foolish decision put you in, don't expect God to come to your aid, because that means you are tempting God. It means you are pushing God to the limit. It means you are trying to see how far. Wait. When Satan asked Jesus Christ to place himself in the pinnacle of the temple and drop down, and God will give his angel charge over him so that his foot will not knock against a stone, Jesus Christ could have reasoned, you know, this is a good way to show that God is working with me. Wait, God doesn't want anybody to use that foolishness or foolish ways to know whether he's working with you or not. Truly, I'm almost tempted to explain further the passage of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, when God said, prove me, try me. But most likely, if I look at it tonight, the fact is, when men and women, because they are Christian or they go to church, take leave of their common sense, as in case with the coronavirus, and think that God will run to their help, one in protecting them not to get infected, two in protecting them that if they get infected, God will run to their aid. When they make those decisions while ignoring the everyday solid information the expert giving on how the disease works, how the virus works, when you evade the everyday information, make your own foolish decision and tell yourself, God will help me. That is tempting God. And you're not going to get help from God. You're not going to get help from God. There have been people, I have clippings, and many times it's while I am here, I say I should have brought some of these clippings. You and I have read where so-called these false preachers, we have them here, we have them in the U.S. and other places, who, because the Bible talk about you will take a poisonous snake and they will not hurt you. We have had people, and as I've said, I have newspaper clippings. I remember one of them is people in Tennessee, preachers having these tent meetings and take up poisonous snake, and you know what? The followers have to rush them to the hospital because they took up the poisonous snake bit them, and they're taking the passage which they misapplied. They misunderstood the passage and they misapplied it. That God, the poisonous snake, the poison, will not affect them negatively. Well, in these cases, the poison always affects them negatively. If they weren't rushed to a hospital, they would die. Foolishness. Well, it's the same way people you hear talking about, God will protect me. No, not when you ignore the facts. And that applies for many areas in life. Brothers and sisters, this attitude where we ignore the common sense fact and we hold tightly to ignorance and foolishness, this is not faith. It is doubt looking for proof in the wrong place. When men and women act like that and act like this is how much they believe in God, this is how much they have faith in God, I'm not going to take the virus, and I know God will protect me. That's not faith. It is doubt looking shelter in the wrong place. And we will not get shelter from God or from His word when we ignore common sense knowledge and expect God to come running. Not only that. To long for sensation. Are we all there? It's not trust, but distrust. Men and women who eager for a miracle, and then they do things hoping a miracle will come. That's not trusting in God. That mistrust. Brothers and sisters, may I just drop this? The things, the negative things that come our way naturally, we didn't create them. We didn't encourage them. Those negative things that come our way naturally, where we have no part in initiating them, God will help us out of those situations. We didn't create them. We didn't bring them about. We didn't place ourselves in them. Those are the situations in which God asks us to prove Him and test Him. Pray to Him. Those are not situations that we, ignoring the simple facts, and place ourselves in them. But you know now, the opposite. When we create situations or see with our eyes the danger, the threat, and place ourselves in it, then that is tempting God. And that is not faith. God's rescuing power is not something to play with or to experiment with. Brother Mitchell, say that again. God's rescuing power, the power that God has to rescue us out of whatever the danger is, that power was never meant for us to play with it or to experiment with it. Wait, Brother Mitchell, what is experiment? Experiment usually applied to the scientist who gets into his laboratory and see how this will work. I think it will work this way. I think when I mix these two chemicals together, it will let me try it. Don't experiment with God. God, that's exactly what some Christians do. Let me see how God will act, how this will turn out for me. Don't go to God with that type of foolishness. When danger comes in whatever form, trust that God will work things out in your best interest. But you don't create your own danger. Don't create your own threat. And expect God to come running. God's rescuing power is something quietly trust. You don't have to make a big thing about it. Just quietly trust God's rescuing power. To trust God is faith. To tempt God is presumption. You are presumptuous when you test God. And you will never have God working on your behalf. Deliberately putting yourself into any dangerous or perilous or threatening situation needlessly, and then expect God to rescue you from it, that is tempting God. I need to repeat this. Deliberately putting yourselves into any dangerous, perilous, or threatening situation needlessly, and then expect God to rescue you from it, that is tempting God. Instead of having God running to help you, the Almighty God will stand by and be glad when that danger overtakes you. Because when God gives us the common sense to, or the knowledge to know that if you go up on the beam and jump down, you will get hurt. Don't climb up on the beam telling yourself, let me see now how God is going to help me. Don't do that. You know, when the Bible says, if a man does work, neither shall he eat. The passage means that. But you see, there's a lot in that passage. There might be many reasons why that man doesn't work. That person may just be lazy. Because that's the situation the passage was thinking about. May just be lazy, that man or woman. And that person may have some bad reason. That person might have become a Christian. And tell him, they might have come to church and heard a message on how God will help his people and provide. And the person go home with the wrong idea, telling him herself, say, you know, God will take care of me. So, the person just sleep all day and idle all day and tell him herself that God will provide. No. When he inspired Paul to write, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. It means if that person chooses to starve to death, let him starve to death. Are we all there? When a man or any person makes decision on ignorance, falsehood, wrong information, and want to call God in to rescue you, that is tempting God. That is tempting God. We are wrapping up. Look at the passage of Ezekiel 20, verse 2 through 4. Ezekiel 20, verse 2 through 4. Let us hear it.
Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man. Speak unto the elders of Israel.
I want you to listen to this. Son of man, remember the elders were the leaders of Israel.
And say unto them.
And tell them.
Thus saith the Lord God.
This is what the Lord God says.
Are ye come to inquire of me?
Watch here now.
As I live.
Wait. God sent his messenger to speak to the leaders. And the leaders, the message from God's prophet to the leaders is, have you come to inquire of me? That is, are you kneeling down in prayer to talk to me about some needs or requests you have? Read on.
Saith the Lord, God, I will not be inquired of by you.
I will not be inquired of by you. Are we all there? Hold it, brother. God is saying, when you come kneeling down to ask me this or to ask me that, God said, I will not be responsive to your prayer. Now, this was Israel, God's people. God said, I will not sit by and listen to whatever you are asking. Brothers and sisters, the situation under which God usually responds like this is situation where plain, simple instruction previously given by God, they ignore it. Put it one side and now coming to the Almighty God. When God had already given them instruction. What verse you stop?
That was the end of verse 3.
Huh?
End of verse 3.
Read verse 4.
Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers.
That's right. That's right. Cause them. And what is coming up, you know, is that whatever their fathers did to turn God against them, they are doing the same thing. It is tempting or testing God when we ignore the light and the direction God is giving us and put ourselves in danger to which the Almighty God has not directed us. When we make foolish decisions. Let me show you something in Acts chapter 9, verse 22 through 25. Let us hear it among the last passage. Probably just one more text to back this one up. Acts 9, 22 through verse 25.
But Saul increased the more in strength.
Saul increased the more in strength.
And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus.
And this meant in the many debates, if I may, our discussion he had with the Jews who didn't want to accept Jesus Christ as God's Son, Lord, and Savior. Paul engaged in debates, our discussion with them, and confounded them. They were not able to stand up to the argument presented by this great witness of Jesus Christ. But watch here now. Let us hear it.
Proving that this is very Christ.
This is truly the Christ.
And after that, many days were fulfilled.
Watch here. After that, many days were fulfilled, meaning many days passed.
The Jews took counsel to kill him.
You all get it? Wait, don't move, brother. Paul rubbed them so much with the truth. Nothing but this plain truth that Jesus was the Christ. That instead of yielding to the truth, they went one side and planned how they can get rid of this man. Man, watch here, watch it. They were foolish enough to not to understand that even when you get rid of Paul and whoever else, the truth would still be there.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
But their laying await was known of. Saul.
Wait. You understand? They set trap. They want to kill Paul. Not because he has done them any evil. In fact, because he has done them good.
Amen.
By opening their eyes to the truth. They were lay waiting the man to kill him. But their lay waiting was known to the Christian. Read.
And they watched the gates day and night.
Remember, most major city then had gates and walls.
Amen.
They watch the city day and night
to kill him.
Wait. You think it's only in our time people are wicked? The man did them no evil, he did them wrong. They watched the gate day and night to protect him, no, to kill him.
Amen.
Read.
Then the disciples took him by night and let him down.
Wait, brother, take time with me. The disciple, are you all there? We are wrapping up. The disciple made a decision. Huh? The disciple made a decision that since this Paul is such a great witness of Jesus Christ, we are going to hold his hand and lead him right through the gate. While their eyes are open, because God will save him from them. Oh, Lord of mercy, tempting God. Come and see. That's not what they did. But foolish men and women would reason like that, that this man is a faithful servant of God. So let us ignore their wickedness. Let us go right into it. In fact, let us not go through the gate at night. Let us go right in the middle day that they can see Paul is with us. God will protect him. they did that, that would be tempting God. No doubt they would have killed Paul. What they did, brother?
Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket.
Yeah, and that basket was to carry food. To save the servant of God. They didn't have some foolish reasoning like people today who, many of whom, as I've said, members of the church, come up with some foolish reasoning about why they're not taking the vaccine. These people didn't reason, the Christian didn't reason, that this man raised the dead. Look what he has done for Christ. Christ will save him from those wicked people. They took this common sense step. They let the man down, put him in a basket and get the rope. And probably they did it at a secret place and let him down. So while the murderous intended people were expecting him to go through the city, Paul was let down in a rope and went about his business. Let us not tempt God. In fact, Paul referred to the same incident in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're not going to read that. In the book of 2 Corinthians 11, 32 through 33, Paul referred to the same incident, mentioning to the Corinthians some of the peril and danger that he went through and what step he took. They did not foolishly reason that if they go right in the danger, God will save them. The only way you do that is when you get word from God that that is what you are to do. We must not test the reality of the presence of God and the extent or the greatness of God's power. Let us not test how great God's power is. It is already great. God will come to our aid, our assistant, our rescue, as we face the different situation in life. But don't bring those things on yourself. Don't create them. Don't ignore common sense rule and guidance given by whomever God used to provide the common sense rules and guidance. Or else you will be found to be tempting God. The lesson is yours. A passage that is very important in this, we didn't read it, is one found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 1 following. It is on the same point. Remember, God calls fools, but he does not keep fools. Do you know the Bible teach that? Oh, Paul taught that before they became Christian, how we were foolish. But after we become Christian, we become wise. He called fools, but he does not keep fools. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. Today you can turn your life over to Jesus Christ so that he can help to make you wise. Are you here today as a child of God who have strayed, backslidden, grown weak? You can come today recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. Let us as Christians learn never to tempt the Almighty God or to push God to any limits. Don't ever ignore common sense guidance God is giving you. And when you foolishly make foolish decisions and it brings consequences, you call upon God, because in those situations, God will not come to your aid. Let us stand. And as we sing Jesus Christ,
377. 377. Tempted and tried, we